Wonderful. Well, it's been a really good morning already. I have really enjoyed just getting to walk around and shake hands and connect with some people again. And then worship was just, man, it's something I was thinking about as we were singing was like, this place feels alive. And which is, what more could you want from a church gathering to really sense that God is there? And that's something I sensed as we worshiped. It was just, yeah, really good. And even, yeah, just so good. So thanks for inviting me, Tim. It's funny, we used to go to the same church. We used to go to Southland together. We were just there for a little bit, but we didn't really have anything to do with each other. And then now that you're here, we've had a cup of coffee a couple times. It's been really good to connect. I've really appreciated your heart. And so thanks for inviting me. This is great. Tim asked me to consider sharing one or two things that the Lord has been teaching me over the past 4 years. And then kind of unpacking that a bit for us this morning. And so we're going to do that. And so as I sat and actually, let me just pray again for myself. Let me pray. Father, I thank you so much that you are here with us, and we need you, and I just ask that you would stir our hearts today. Stir our hearts towards you, God. And Lord, we just ask again you to meet with us, to reveal yourself to us. And I pray that what is not of you this morning would just fall to the side. And Lord, what is of you would land and stick in our hearts today. Praise your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. So as I sat and prayed and asked the Lord, well, what, you know, the last 4 years of my life, it's been a lot of stuff that's happened the last 4 years of my life. What should I be speaking about? And a Greek word came to mind. And I'll be honest, that's not like a usual thing for me. Like, I only know like two or three Greek words. But a Greek word came to mind, and it's the word aremos. Aremos. Can we all say that word? Aremos. Aremos. Okay? This word can be used, it's used in different ways in the New Testament, but all with a similar idea. And that idea of the aremos is like a solitary place, or a lonely place, or a desolate place, or an uninhabited place, or maybe someone who's been deprived or deserted by people. It can be used as like an actual place, like the wilderness is also known as the aremos, but it's like a location on the map in that time period. Was like, that's the wilderness spot, so that was also called the aremos. And even in Mark chapter 1, it's mentioned like six times, this word aremos in Mark chapter 1. So I'm just going to very briefly just go through it for us. So in Mark chapter 1, verse 3, it's talking to John the Baptist, and it says, this is a prophecy from Isaiah. It says, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John appeared baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. So in that way, the aremos is like, he's in a location, like he's in the wilderness. Like, that's his spot on the map. That's where he is. He's crying out in that place. He's baptizing in that place. And then we go to verse 12 of Mark chapter 1. And this is after Jesus is baptized by John. And it says in verse 12, the Spirit immediately drove him into the wilderness. And he was in the wilderness 40 days being tempted by Satan. And he was with wild animals. He was with wild angels. He was with the wild animals, and the angels were ministering to him. So there's the idea of the wilderness, the aremos. That's the Greek word aremos. Okay? And Jesus is driven into the aremos by the Spirit to be tempted. And then we go to verse 35 in chapter 1. And this is after Jesus comes back after the wilderness, and he's ministering. And then verse 35, it says, and rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. It's talking about Jesus. And the The Greek word for desolate place is eremos. So here we have a different way now of putting it. So it's not just a location, it's actually, he's just in a place all by himself praying. Eremos. And then in verse 45, Jesus cleanses a leper. He tells the leper, don't tell anybody what I just did. Just go to the temple, go through the cleansing rituals. And of course, this leper, he doesn't obey that. He just tells everybody. And in verse 45, it says this, but he, the leper, went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places. And people were coming to him from every quarter. So he was out just away from the crowds, in the desolate places. People had to go out to him, but he was by himself. People had to go find him. Okay? So those are just a couple different ways that the word eremos is used just in one chapter of the Bible. Different ways of seeing it. And over the last 4 years, as I reflected on my life, this idea of the eremos, or the wilderness, or the desolate place, has probably been the main theme of my life. The main theme. And there's a couple different reasons for it. For number one, without going into too many details, but I had a long season of being in the spiritual wilderness, I would say. The desert, dryness, more than that, going through like emotional health struggles for several years. And it was a spiritual wilderness. It was a spiritual desolate place that I experienced. It was a spiritual aroma. I don't even know the word anymore. Oh my word. It's not good. Eremos. See? Don't come to me if you have Greek questions. I'm a fake. So I think there are several reasons why I entered this season. Part of it was, I think, the Holy Spirit driving me into a season like this to really form me and to grow certain convictions and to cut down other ones, to change certain things or motivations of my own heart. And out of this season, really birthing future ministry in my life. For instance, the school that we're starting, and you really wanted to grow compassion and empathy in my life. And I'm not gonna go back a lot of those things, but that was, I think, some of the reasons. Other thing I think was part of my own doing, living my life and doing ministry at a pace that the Holy Spirit never asked me to do, and just running out and going into debt, like spiritual debt. I think part of it was probably a lack of deep, meaningful relationships in my own life that were more than just me pouring out. The lack of relationships. So I think there's a couple different things all compiled together with like a multi-year spiritual wilderness season that was just brutal. But we're singing this song about the wilderness and building altars in the wilderness, and I'm like, I cannot keep it together in worship. And it's like the Lord is just meeting me this time. It's like, oh my goodness, Lord, like you brought me out of that season. And I'm so grateful. But that was a long season in my life. Number two, another big theme has been this idea of the eremos, or the quiet and lonely place, and how Jesus would regularly put himself into that place to be with the Father. And that's something that I've known for a long time, and I knew that Jesus did that, but it really became fresh to me in this season of my life. Like no less than 9 times in the book of Luke, it talks about Jesus escaping to go to the eremos to pray, to the quiet place, the wilderness. And sometimes those verses say he would regularly withdraw. Like it wasn't just a one time, like one verse, but he would regularly withdraw. And he had a regular practice of getting alone with the Father. No distractions. And this idea wasn't new, of spending time alone with the Father. I feel like it's been the main message that I have proclaimed to people as I've been in ministry. But I feel like more and more in this last season, he's taught me about why. Why do we do this? What are the rhythms? What about spiritual transformation? How do people actually change? All these different things that I feel like, the Lord has been teaching me and all related to the wilderness, and the desolate place, and the quiet place. And I've realized how much more I actually need this in my life, and the intentionality that goes into it, especially in the modern age that we live in. And I feel like these aren't, like, as I share these things, I'm sure, like, Tim shares these things of, like, we should spend time with the Father. Like, I don't think that's, like, a, wow, really groundbreaking news. But for me, it's really been fresh in this season. And I believe he's solidified and deepened certain convictions in my life. And so what I want to do as we for the rest of this time is I want to make my landing. And I just want to ask for a show of hands. How many people here would say, this is all going to relate, just an FYI. How many people here would say that God is love? Hopefully, if you're a believer and you trust the scriptures, you all raise your hand because it says it in the Bible, that God is love. How many people here believe that he loves you? Okay, not, that's good, that's really good. 100%, right? He loves us. 1 John talks about like the love the Father has lavished on us. It says that in 1 John chapter 3. He loved us. He loved us by sending his own son on the cross for our sins to die. And more than just our sins, more than just a transaction where it's like, hey, Jesus died on the cross. Wow, amazing. Now I can be right before him. But he did that so he could reconcile us back to himself. Right? It's more than just a transaction where, good, I'm in a courtroom and I'm clean because Jesus died. No. Well, yes, that is true. But then there's this other side. Actually, God is there to reconcile us back to himself in relationship and communion. That is his goal. He wants communion with his people. And do you know that the Father, like the Father loves you, and that he is love? And do you know that that is not meant to be just theology? That is meant to be your experience. It's God's love. He is love. Like, he is love. Like, that's who he is. And we are meant to experience that. I am meant to experience and know with your whole being that God is love. And that he loves you. Now, this is very simple. It's like, this is like 101. People, like, everyone wants to talk about God's love. But, like, you're meant to actually know it within the entirety of your being. Kind of weird language, I guess. But, like, your whole person is supposed to know more than just up here. It's supposed to know this love that the Father has for you. Your experience is meant to match your theology. And do you know when I know and experience and encounter the love of the Father? Do you know when I know and encounter the theology that God is love? When I'm with him. When my intention's on him, when I spend time with him, when I'm in the Eremos or the wilderness, or I could be driving. I remember we were going to a youth retreat a couple of weeks ago, and I was driving on the bus. And it's a youth retreat, it's just loud, and like people are singing, and it's like great. And I just like, I'm beside someone who's like sleeping beside me, which was great, because like I gotta have a little kind of chill time before the chaos of the youth retreat. But I'm in the bus, and I spend time just praying for what's going on, what's happening. And like in this crowded bus full of stinky teenagers, like there I am, and it's like, oh, but I'm aware of the presence of God right now on this bus. Not like I am hiding in the woods, which is good. We should hide in the woods sometimes. But I'm in this bus, and they're like, whoa, wow, like, I'm experiencing your presence right now. Like, your presence, and I'm experiencing it. And so, when I go to the Eremos, when I go to the quiet place and just sit with my Father, So when I think of the past 4 years, And I think of the times, you know, the times of spiritual wilderness, the times of really, really deep desert of soul. And I think of what God has been teaching me in this area and leading me. And then I think about this most recent season in my life, coming out of that really, really hard, dry season, difficult season. And I think about where I am today. And I'm not a perfect person, and I have like so much to grow. And like Tim came to speak at our little trial thing last weekend, and I'm like, I'm so glad he's here sharing. This is awesome. This is so much better than I could be doing right now. And I was just sitting there enjoying it. It was so good. But what I feel like's been happening in my life is where this idea of the love of God and the presence of God has been matching my theology more and more in my own life. And I'm not trying to muster it up. I'm not trying to prove to God my dedication. I'm not trying to perform for Him. I'm not trying to earn anything. I'm actually just sitting with my Father of love, often with a cup of coffee, and I'm just seeking His presence. I'm just trying to lean into God Himself. And it has been, for me in this season, it's been the opposite of spiritual wilderness. And when I look at the doing in my life, like the works that I am doing, I'm still actually doing similar things. But God has been changing my heart and my motivation, that I'm doing the things not for His love, but out of His love, because of His love. So I'm not trying to earn it. And I think for us, as many of us here, I'm assuming, are like, you know, Mennonites, we're really good at doing and making our way, and I think we often struggle with trying to earn God's love. That is not, like, He doesn't want Christianity to be a duty. He does not want it to be something that you earn. You can't earn it. He doesn't want His love to be something like that. He actually just wants you to sit with Him and just receive Him and lean into God Himself. That is the scandal of the gospel, is that He actually died on the cross so He can bring us near to Himself. Like, who are we that's the invitation? But that is the invitation. And we don't have to prove it. We just have to actually just sit with Him. Just be with Him. And that has been just wrecking me over the past couple months. And it's changing my heart. And it's changing the way that I do ministry. It's changing the way that I, you know, do life in general. And I believe that this is the invitation for all of His disciples to experience His presence, to know Him deeply, to be transformed by Him, to walk in step with the Holy Spirit, to accomplish the specific purposes and works that He has for each one of us to do. But it's out of a place. It's out of a place of just, oh, I just love my Father. I just sit with Him. And just like, wow, He's so good. And then out of that place, it's like, what do You have for me? I want to do it because I love You. And so I believe, so this ministry that we're starting, we're calling it the Trellis Center, okay? I just publicly proclaimed it. Carrie, I hope we're okay with that. We've been ruminating on that. The website's almost made. Paid for the domain. Like, we're getting, like, Trellis Center. And this idea of a trellis is actually kind of ancient language when it comes to Christianity. But this idea of a trellis, right? Most of us know what a trellis is. It's in a garden or just somewhere that a vine or a plant can grow. But it's a structure. It's a structure that gives a pathway essentially for growth for a plant, right? And direction for a plant. And so what we deep down in our hearts, what we believe that a disciple of Jesus is meant to have their life like a trellis, where they structure it and arrange their life around the lifestyle of Jesus. And as we do that, and we arrange our lives around the lifestyle of Jesus, that His abundant life that is on offer to us begins to grow more and more as the years go in our journey. So as we continually set up our trellis of life, okay, we structure and arrange our life around Jesus, He begins to just, His life flows into our life. And so that's the heart of why we named it that. And so as we think of our school, like that is what we want to train people into, is that. More than a head knowledge, but a life for Jesus. Because I think that's the call. I don't think we're called to just have a certain set of doctrines, which is important for you to have a certain set of doctrines. But the invitation to a disciple is a life lived with Jesus. And so to wrap up here, I'm going to go 1 or 2 minutes long, or 3 or 4 or 5. So in response, Psalm 27 verse 4 says this. This is David. It says, it's a very famous verse. One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. And then in Luke 11, Jesus says this, if you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So these two verses, something I want us to note, is David in Psalm 27 says, one thing I have asked the Lord that I will seek after. And then he talks about being in the presence of God and seeking him. So he's not only seeking, but he's just asking. Can I just be in your presence? I just want to be in your presence. I just want to gaze upon your beauty. And then he goes and seeks it. He seeks a life like that, but he's asking the Father for it. And then Jesus says the same thing. So I'm a prayer here in this context, and he says, how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? And I sometimes wonder, I think we feel bad, or like, is this weird? I'm like, am I being kind of crazy? Like, is this like cuckoo Christianity to like ask God for his presence? No, like David said, ask. David's asking. And Jesus said, no, you don't have because you don't ask. Like you need to ask the Father. He wants to give his presence. He wants to give you more of his Spirit to those who ask him. He wants to give it to you. Like it's not a drag. Oh, man, Kevin's asking for the Spirit again. Like, keep on asking for it. That's fine. Here's some more. No, it's like, okay, Kevin's asking. I will just kill him. Have it. I want you to have more of me. Because more of him is better than anything else. And so, I'm going to make Cody just for the guitar to come up here. And I just want us to sit. I want to invite us just to sit for like a minute or two. Just to sit for a minute or two. Okay? And I want us just to, no one's forced to do this, so you can just sit there and whatever. Don't go on your phone if you're not going to engage in this, okay? But I just want to invite us to ask God for this. Just to ask him for it. Like he so badly wants you to live your life as him being the source, and him being the one that you're finding your love in and your satisfaction in, and all these things. He wants to be that. And so I just want us to take the posture of David and just like, oh, okay, we're gonna ask for this. We're gonna ask for this. And it doesn't have to be a scary thing, but it could just be, like, it just requires us to lean in a little bit. You know, it's like, you know when you're having coffee with someone and it's like pretty chill, and then all of a sudden they start like dropping some like, oh, they're getting vulnerable on me. And you're like, oh, I'm like tired, but then you like kind of lean in, right? Mentally, you're like, okay, I gotta lean in. Because they're now they're like sharing something like, I gotta lean in. And so I think for us, we just gotta lean in. Like we gotta lean in, Father, Lord, I just want to know your love. Because you are love. And I just want to know your presence. Because you said we can ask for more of your Spirit. We can ask to be in your presence and to be in your temple. And so I just want to ask for that, God. And it doesn't mean that it's going to happen like that. You might not feel, you might be like, wow, that whole last 3 minutes was like, my brain was just scattered. And maybe that was useless. No, it wasn't useless. It was just no waste of time. That's not a waste of time. But you keep getting after it, day after day after day after day after day after day after day. And he's going to change you. And so I invite you to close your eyes. I'm not going to tell you how to do this. I'm just going to have just a minute of asking him for his love and his presence. He's a good, good Father. So Father, we just ask you to reveal yourself to us and stir hunger in our hearts for you. Give you this space. Father, that's amazing. Jesus, when you taught your disciples to pray, the first thing you told them to approach you as was Father, as a son or a daughter. This holy God, you are a holy God. We already declared it. You're worthy of all praise. You're worthy of all honor. You're worthy of all glory. Right now in heaven, the angels and the elders, they worship you. They cast their crowns before you. They declare your worthiness and your awesomeness and your power. It says that you are a consuming fire. There is none like you. And then Jesus, you invite your people to come to this God like a child. And so, Father, I pray for Rosemary Community Church. I pray that this church would be a church that lives their life out of the love of the Father, from a place of the love of the Father. That they don't strive out of the flesh, the Lord, that they walk in step with your Holy Spirit in love. Lord, that church and ministry, and it is not duty, but it is joy in your presence. And Father, I pray for this church. I pray that your Holy Spirit would prompt each one to different things in their life. God, that they would have the boldness and the courage to walk in step with you. And I just pray in this next season for this church, Lord, that you would accomplish your purposes through them, and that this church would be the church you're calling it to be, but full of love for one another, for you. And I just thank you so much for this morning. We just look forward even now to worshiping you again. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.